Welcome to the first service of 2021 here at BUMC Online, the online campus right here at Broadway. I'm Lewis, and I'm your campus pastor here at Online, and I want you to know that you're welcome here, no exceptions. Thanks for taking time out of your day to gather online with your church family. Now, as a reminder, please check in with us using the quick check-in button that's at the top of the page. If it's your first time here with us, we would love to hear from you and for you to let us know that you were here. All it asks is for your name and your email address. And then there's a place where you can add any prayer requests or questions that you might have as well. This button is also for all of you who've been with us before. If you don't mind, check in. It's the first of the year. Let us know you were here. This gives me and the whole online team a starting off point to pray for you, our church family, this week. Now, if you've got any questions about Broadway or BUMC Online, or you just want to hang out with your church family, stay with us after the service, and we'll be hanging out in the chat, and I'd love to hear from you. Now, the best way to stay up to date with everything that's going on in the life of our church family is to download the app. You can do that by texting BUMC app to 77977. Today, we're going to continue a tradition of ours by taking this first Sunday of the new year and renew our covenant with God, our church, and with each other by joining together in a covenant renewal service. It's going to be a powerful morning for all of us. And then there's a couple things that you need to know. We went back over the last 10 months of our online services and chose the best songs that are particularly meaningful for today. Now, you're going to hear from our youth, and you're going to hear from the worship leaders from both of our physical campuses. Also, go ahead and grab a small bowl with some water in it. Your entire family will need that later on in the service. And now, as we enter into worship, would you join me in our call to worship that'll be on the screen? O God, searcher of our hearts, you have formed us as a people and claimed us for your own. As we come to acknowledge your sovereignty and grace and to enter anew into covenant with you, reveal any reluctance or falsehood within us. Let your Spirit impress your truth on our inmost being and receive us in mercy for the sake of our mediator, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Let's join together in worship. Thank you.
God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. And I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change.
Happy New Year, Broadway family. I, for one, am starting this new year with a lot of hope. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, I think, for this pandemic, but more importantly, the arc of God's movement is always toward his good. And at the same time, here's what else we know. All of the challenges from the past year didn't just magically go away when the clock struck midnight on January 1st. You didn't magically change. In fact, as they say in recovery language, wherever you go, there you are. The circumstances of your life or of our world didn't magically change either. But you and I can still forge a positive path into a new year. Think of it this way. The year ahead will be shaped more by your commitments than by your circumstances. Even with so much that is out of our control, there is something we can control, and we should not let what we can't control affect what we can. We can determine how to live in relationship to God and to each other. Our commitments shape us and therefore shape our world and will shape our year ahead in profound ways. And that is why we intentionally set aside this time, this first Sunday of the year, to renew our commitments, to be the church, the ecclesia in Greek, which means those who are called out, people who commit to caring about what God cares about, and to be agents of the incarnational love of Jesus, to be the hands and feet of Christ. As we walk into 2021, we are reminded that we, the church, we have a high calling. Over time, we tend to forget. We get distracted. And that is especially true when the way gets rough. The last year has been confusing and disorienting. We have probably all lost our way in one way or another. We need to be renewed, to be refreshed, to be reminded of who we are. In confusing times, it also helps to keep it simple. Fortunately, for about 250 years, our faith tradition has been guided by three simple rules. We call them the general rules. John Wesley called them the general rules because they apply to every single person, every single one of us, in every single situation that we encounter. These rules always will ground us. They will guide us. They are: do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. And though we never will completely fulfill these commitments, they have great power to shape us and have tremendous impact on us and can have that impact on the year ahead. So today, we will take these one at a time, stopping to pray, to sing, to reflect, and then to renew our promises to God and to one another. Along the way, you might want to write down a specific way you will live into each of these three rules, or you might reflect on that as the day goes on, so that at the end of the service and as you reflect, you would walk away with three simple practical steps to guide you as you follow Jesus in the year ahead. Whatever the circumstances, that we might build our lives on the foundation of Jesus Christ and his high calling of love, forgiveness, and the kingdom of God.
Thank you. holy, there is no one like you, there is none besides you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to love around me.
The first commitment that has the power to profoundly shape the year ahead is the commitment to do no harm. When Jenny and I were first married, we got into this habit of lighting a candle on the stove to make our house smell nice. And then as the candle burned down, one of us got the bright idea, I'm sure it was probably me, to set the extra wax in a pan on the burner to warm it up and not waste that good smell. In case you didn't know, this is a terrible idea. About the fourth or fifth time doing this, I walked off and I forgot. And I came back into the kitchen to find that the wax had burst into flames. And then I made it worse. Panicking, I got a glass of water from the sink and I threw it into what was basically a grease fire. Do you know what happened? It was an instant fireball. This little blaze that had been small now filled up basically the entire stovetop, the surrounding cabinets, and instantly melted the hood over the stove. Fortunately for us, it died out as quickly as it had blown up, and nothing else caught fire, thank God. We were very lucky, and we learned a valuable lesson. What are you going to throw on the fires that happen around you in the year ahead? This question is at the essence of a commitment to do no harm. Our human condition is often to do something that makes it worse, to throw more fuel on the fire and to add our own contribution to the world's brokenness. Sometimes even our attempts to help don't actually help. Like water on a grease fire, our human efforts also make things worse. Only God's grace through us can extinguish the fires of hatred and division, violence and greed, vanity and worldliness around us. And so will you join me in renewing your commitment to do no harm in the year ahead? And to help us make that commitment, I thought we would just simply turn to the scriptures this morning to guide us. And as you hear God's word, may something in this just speak directly to you. James 1, 19 through 21. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Or Romans 12, starting with verse 9. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will avenge, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Don't become overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Think with me for a second about the Ten Commandments. Aren't many of those really about not doing harm to God or to neighbor as sort of a baseline for how we'll interact with one another? Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't covet your neighbor's possessions. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. And then Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, calls us not just to the letter of that law, but to the spirit of it as well. In an ethical framework, a way of living that breaks the cycle of hurt and retaliation. That's what it means to do no harm. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, don't resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek as well. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles, the extra mile. Give to the one who asks you, and don't turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. For you have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you might be children of your Father in heaven. When asked how many times we should forgive someone, Jesus also called us to the spirit of that law as well, rather than the letter. Forgive not 7 times, but 70 times 7. The New Testament is filled with a call to do no harm within community. It places a high value on relational righteousness. It's one thing to say that we love people. It's another thing altogether to love actual persons in community. And so let me offer one last scripture from Ephesians chapter 4, which might guide us as the people of Broadway to do no harm in the year ahead. Therefore, Ephesians 4 says, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and don't give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands. They may have something to share with those in need. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Imagine with me how powerful it would be if we all together took seriously a commitment to throw grace on every fire of the devil in 2021. Do no harm, as Reuben Job has written, is a proactive response to all that is evil in the world. It's how we decide to react to all that is wrong with the world. And if we were to take this seriously, we would take a giant step to transforming the world in which we live, bringing about healing instead of hurt, wholeness instead of division, living in harmony with the ways of Jesus rather than in harmony with the ways of the world, to gain the ability to treat each other, each person, as a child of God. Will you join me in renewing your commitment to doing no harm in the year ahead, to being God's holy people, the church called out of darkness into his marvelous light? Will you pour compassion and grace on the fires of anger and hate? And will you repent of your sin and seek to live a holy life? If so, let's renew our commitment to do no harm together.
Just as we vow when we enter into membership in the church, today, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the powers, evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, Put your whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people of all ages, nations, and races. If so, say, I do. According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If so, say, I will. Amen.
Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live. And now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember, when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus, and live. And sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So lift your sky as dark and pause the rain. So cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus and live. Oh, and when the love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus and live. With your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye. Then go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, and live. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus.
Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. This is the essence of our second commitment to shape the year ahead, simply to do good. On March 12th of 2020, David Brooks wrote a prophetic article, I would say, in the New York Times about what happens to people during a pandemic. The title, Pandemics Kill Compassion Too. Looking back through history, he uncovered how a combination of factors, social isolation and self-protection and social upheaval brings about some of the worst in people. And he offers that that might be the surprising reason why people generally don't talk much about pandemics after they're over. This was certainly true in the 1918 flu pandemic. In that pandemic, roughly 675,000 Americans lost their lives. But maybe you were like me, you didn't know a lot about it, even all these years later. And that's because it left no conscious cultural mark. There's a reason why maybe we didn't talk about it. Perhaps it was because people didn't like who they had become. That's what Brooks offers up. People emerged from that pandemic physically and spiritually fatigued, and it was a shameful memory and therefore suppressed. People didn't talk about it. They just sort of tried to move on. And then he offers this conclusion. Maybe this time we'll learn from their example. It also wouldn't be a bad idea to take steps to fight the moral disease that accompanies the physical one. Let's be honest. We have all seen and probably demonstrated examples of this hard truth that we don't like, in some ways, who we have become. But I'm also here to remind us and to say I'm proud of the countless stories that don't get told. The heroism of our healthcare workers and those with them who have stepped up to encourage and to feed or write cards and have parades to spur them on. People have been sending cards within our community and calling those that they used to sit next to in the pew. We have probably all been getting to know our neighbors better. We've offered up art and music and beauty and encouragement to each other. Two young ladies, sisters, filled their piggy bank for Kids Zone and brought it in to donate to the mobile grocery. We have about 600 people who have been affected by our Be Brave BG campaign. We have helped bring about 55,000 meals to hungry people in Honduras. Somebody helped someone buy a car they needed. People have given thousands of dollars to help support those in need in our community. The list could go on and on. I saw the 5-year report of the Foundry recently, or was reminded of the impact of our mobile grocery, and ultimately was reminded of all the infrastructure our church had helped set in place to be ready to respond to this thing that we could never have expected. Overall, I have been stunned, absolutely floored, by the ongoing generosity of our church to the church so that we can continue our ministry. I've also noticed how some people aren't struggling as much as others because they have accepted the reality. It's not the same, but God is still at work. There is still treasure on this path too. And they have turned their attention to helping, to doing what good they can. Things have been hard, but right in the middle of the hardest and darkest time of the pandemic, we celebrated Christmas, the incarnation, the incarnational love of God that somehow finds a way. Today, I ask you to recommit yourself to this same love, love that somehow is determined to find a way through us. Hard times don't have to kill compassion. They can also birth it. And that is our commitment today, especially now, especially at this point in the pandemic. We are at a place where we can overwhelm the struggle with a commitment just simply to do good. In the face of so much we can't do, we could and can refocus on what we can do. Let's just be real. We don't need anybody else to sort of complain about what's wrong, to point out what could be better, to try to get other people to do something different. No, every one of us has a gift that is needed. In the body of Christ, all of us together do have enough to overwhelm the bad with good. You only need to offer your God-given gift, your small contribution, and a determination to offer it whatever the circumstances. Desmond Tutu said once, "Do your little bit of good wherever you are. It's those little bits of good put together that overwhelm the world. Empathy is what is needed. If you want to, don't know what to offer, offer empathy, compassion, and maybe especially to those people right now who are driving you crazy, whoever they are. Henry James has offered this. He has his own three rules to guide him. Three things in human life that are important. The first is to be kind. The second is to be kind. The third is to be kind. Galatians tells us that the natural fruit of God's Spirit working in us is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. Following Jesus puts us on a path of loving incarnational engagement with a hurting world. This is our calling. It is a calling that we receive when we are baptized. The symbolism is that we were once dead in one way of life, and then as we're raised up out of the waters, we are raised with Christ into a new life. This has been at times called our baptismal vocation. It's our new purpose that comes out of being raised with Christ. And it is the same commitment that Jesus brought to this world, to love whatever the circumstances. It's said that Martin Luther, when he was disillusioned or in despair, had a small chalkboard on his desk with this message, Baptizatus sum. It's Latin for you are baptized. Today, we are going to renew our baptismal commitment. And with it, renew our commitment to that baptismal vocation, to listen to the voice of Jesus. And that's what vocation is. Simply to listen to the voice of Jesus over every other voice in the year ahead.
At this time, let me invite you to pick up your bowl of water as we prepare to remember our baptism. As you're getting ready, if you have not yet been baptized but are interested in learning more about how you can take this important spiritual step in your journey with God, there's going to be a special link in the chat this morning. You can click that link and let us know, and one of our pastors will talk with you about that. If you have your bowl ready, let's enter into this special time together. Through the waters of baptism, you have been raised by Christ to new life, to do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Take a moment now to dip your finger into the water as a way of remembering, or perhaps as a foretaste of your own baptism. And once you have done that, take a moment to make the sign of the cross on your forehead and say together with me these words. I am set apart in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit powerfully be at work in you, that being born of the water and the Spirit, that you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Your holy word, take it.
our final commitment for the year ahead will shape that year ahead more than the other two and really is the source of those commitments and really all others. Stay in love with God. Fish are made to live in water. Birds are made to fly through the air. Cows are made to land on the grill. God has equipped each living creature with a specific purpose, setting. Penguins plunge, parrots perch, piranhas pulverize. Each living creature has adaptations that make it perfectly suited for the environment in which it lives. We, humans, are uniquely adapted to love God. God created us uniquely for Him. Though we have the freedom to navigate many environments, humans, in a way that is unique to all living creatures, are designed to live on the spiritual plane. God designed us as spiritual beings for spiritual things. We are uniquely adapted to do life with God. Outside of this natural habitat, we're like, well, fish out of water, birds that can't fly. The only way to do life right is to live in keeping with our original design. And so today, we renew our commitment to doing life with God, to the means of grace that connect us to God, in our worship together, to elevate God's name, to elevate God's status in this world by elevating His status in our own hearts, to glorify Him and to enjoy Him forever in our times of solitude in the year ahead when we are alone. We commit to letting God speak His still small voice into our very hearts to calm us, to assure us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to empower us. In our serving and in our sacrifice, in our daily activities, we commit to finding solidarity with a Savior who also engaged this world, who came not to be served, but to serve. And so, will you in the year ahead arrange your days so that you are experiencing deep contentment, joy, and confidence in your everyday life with God? Will you join in a community of worship, in the Lord's Supper, in private and family prayer, in searching the scriptures, in deep Bible study, in fasting, in creating places and saying yes to opportunities to be real and vulnerable and open to God's help and healing? Will you commit to simply showing up to God? And will you do that as your primary commitment? Will you dedicate your energies to cultivating this intimate, personal, interactive relationship with God? This was the thing that Jesus said to strive for. This was the place to give our effort, our focus, our energy. Jesus told us if we're going to work on anything, to work at this. And that's not to say that we earn our salvation. There's nothing we do to merit God's unconditional grace. But that way of thinking has, in some ways, caused us to think there's nothing for us to do. And that's not true. It's quite the opposite. Jesus, in His word and example, told us there is one simple rule that should empower all of life: to seek God with all that we have. He told us there to ask and to seek and to knock. Ask and it will be given to you, He said. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. We can trust that promise now and in the year ahead. Some of us put forth a lot of effort trying to get it right. We just put that effort in the wrong place. We try to do whatever we do on our own strength, to do no harm or to do good in our own power. And we wear ourselves out trying to accomplish too much, but knowing God too little. It's sort of the human condition. It's true for me. I'm sure it's true for you. Most of us underestimate God's desire for us simply to approach him, asking, seeking, knocking, and the little things as well as the big things, so that we begin to tap into the endless source of life and love. What would happen if the people of God simply stayed in love with God through their disciplines and practices and way of life? Well, maybe the best answer I have ever heard is from Dallas Willard's book, Renovation of the Heart. In describing a church full of spiritually formed people living in connection to the power of God, he cast this vision. We'll know that it is happening when the most important thing happening in our communities is what is happening in our churches. Our community, our world needs us more than anything else, more than being right or having it together, needs us to be passionate spiritual disciples of Jesus. The renewal of the world begins with a spiritual renewal in our hearts as we learn to live the way we were designed to live. And so, will you finally commit with me today to loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength? And as I said earlier in the service, we will never fully live into that commitment, but simply the desire to please God pleases God. And if we make that commitment, it will shape us more than we think it will. And that's the point. Will you commit to loving God as the primary passion of your life? Will you offer yourself as a living sacrifice, as scripture says, holy and pleasing to God, so that the trajectory of your life and the direction of the year ahead is toward becoming more fully alive in him? If so, let's renew our commitment to stay in love with God together.
For centuries, Methodists have begun the new year by recommitting themselves to Christ by praying together this prayer that has come to be known as the Wesley Covenant Prayer. And so if you're able in your home, let me invite you to stand as we pray this prayer together with one heart and one voice today. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you.
Sing that with me.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship.
worship you. I worship you. You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. 'Cause you are the way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here.
That a lot of time it's easy to look around and see circumstances and see that that is all that's going on, but truly God is working. He who started it is going to finish it. So Jesus, open our eyes, help us believe. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop. Thank you.
Friends, I really want to thank you for joining us in this very special day today. I feel like it is one of those services that, man, we're just getting started. And so maybe that's appropriate because we are just getting started in this year ahead together. I'll tell you, at the end of last year, 2019, and then going into 2020, I had the chance to go to a conference, and we were in worship and sang that song we just sang together, Waymaker, and how God is at work even when we don't see it or feel it. And I remember looking back at the tough year that we had had in 2019 and claiming that truth, not knowing what 2020 would bring, but walking into that truth for the year ahead. And so we do the same today. We claim the truth that God is alive and at work, and that if we have eyes to see, we will see it. And so you have been faithful in small things, continue to be. God will be faithful and put us in charge of big things, I believe. And so keep your head up, keep your eye on the prize, and let's continue to be the church of Jesus Christ in the year ahead. God bless, and I really hope to see you soon.